Welcome back, mamas. Matrescence is universal. The experience of transformation happens to every single woman who becomes a mother, no matter where you are in the world. Just like adolescence is the transformation from child to adult and will disrupt most parts of your life so you become the adult, so too is matrescence. But there is something that we all need to keep in mind. Culturally, depending on the support that you have, your childhood, who you have around you, these things affect your transformation. Your identity continues to change through this time, but there are things that we need to remember when we look around at each other. And that's why I was really excited and honoured to have Yemi Penn on my podcast this week. Yemi is one of the most spectacular human beings I have met. She has an energy about her that makes you instantly feel like you're going to be lifelong friends, and I hope we are. She has an enveloping energy about her. I'm very honoured that I have met her, and she's come into my life lately. And we had always planned for her to come on my podcast, talk about motherhood, talk about the things that shape you. This is a beautiful woman who is fascinated with supporting others through trauma, through facing those difficult times in your life and becoming who you are meant to be through them. And then George Floyd died, and the podcast that we did record wasn't right anymore. Eventually, we found a time to come together and have the conversation you're about to hear. I hope that you can hear that there are both universal parts of matrescence and motherhood that we share and also parts that we don't, depending on the colour of your skin, where you grew up, how you grew up. Your experiences are going to be different. And now is the time for us to come together and understand this of each other. I really believe that mamas can change the world. This is Mamas Rising Together. And Yemi is a spectacular example of how we can do this. Enjoy. This is the Happy Mama Movement, a weekly podcast dedicated to changing the conversation about what it means to be a mother and a woman in this day and age. I'm Amy Taylor Cabaz, author, mama, and former journalist. After spending 15 years chasing news and burning myself out trying to be Superwoman, I realized that I was chasing a dream that no longer served me, and since then have dedicated myself to understanding the transition that we go through as women when our whole identity shifts with motherhood. Every week, I will bring you the very best insights and inspiration I can find to help us all change the way we feel about this time in our lives and create a movement that allows us to honor motherhood differently. Yemi, thank you for coming on the podcast. This is actually our third attempt at recording this. Thank you, COVID-19. But I would like to say that I am back in an actual recording studio. I do not have to worry about the noises outside, my kids climbing all over me. This feels really good. It so does. Thank you for being here.
An absolute pleasure. Thank you for being so patient.
I know.
I appreciate it.
I know that this conversation is going to be really important, so it was definitely worth persevering with. We have so much I want us to talk about today, but the best thing is to go back to when you became a mama. I've heard this story. I think it's really important and powerful to see what the expectations were of what you thought motherhood was going to be and why you chose motherhood when you did. So take us back and weave the story for us.
Oh, I think I almost give a different response every time because I think I delve deeper into my subconscious of
Perfect.
What it was. So what did I, before I became a mother, what did I think it was about? Oh, honestly, I had no idea. My mum had 6 kids. I definitely knew she was struggling. She was a single parent at the time. But I think as a child, I probably didn't care as much as I now do as a mum. And so that obviously didn't put a dampener on it. But who I was before was just a free, loving, spirited girl. And I literally fell pregnant just as I finished university, because as far as I was concerned, that was the step to take the minute you'd got your education. Now, I'm a bit of a rebel because I know marriage was meant to come first, but I thought, I found tall, dark and handsome. Having a kid was the next step. So the reality is I really had no idea other than feeling it was part of my role as a woman to have a baby. It just felt like that was the step. There was no logic. I mean, literally, when I retell this story, I'm almost alarmed at what I did not know. But that is probably the best way to summarize. And whether other people can resonate, literally didn't have a clue. It just felt like it was the next step.
It's really interesting, in all of the research and the study I've done over the years about matrescence, it's known as the maternal mandate, which is just this assumption that because you're a woman and perhaps you got to a certain age or you met a certain criteria in your life, it was now time to be a mother.
Absolutely.
And it's actually been a mandate that we've carried with us for generations. We think, well, this is what I should do next.
Absolutely. And it's like it's the unspoken rule, like especially in African culture, to have kids is a sign of wealth. It's a gift. And so you are meant to and usually have lots of them. Mm-hmm. And I know that's changing now. But it was only until a couple of years later, after I had my daughter, that I realized if you hit the age of 30 and you didn't have a child, then the world would start to see that there was a problem with you and that potentially your womb wasn't working.
Wow.
So I didn't feel that in my mid-20s, but I definitely knew later on that this was a thing that I guess everyone knew but just didn't speak about openly.
So tell us a little about where you grew up. 6 children, you said.
Yeah.
You're one of 6.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah, so one of 6 from my mum. My dad had another child. So I'm still trying to piece these things together. Like literally as of last week, I had a conversation with my siblings of a part of my life that I spent with, for no other word, a white lady in, I think it was East England, maybe North England, but we were there and I was fostered.
Wow.
This is the first time I've ever said it out loud because I'm still trying to unearth it. But my childhood there was a lot of moving around. So I was born in the UK. My mum was a legend. She knew at some point, being a British citizen, especially with the relationships it had with Africa and Nigeria in particular, that it would be beneficial to have that passport and be able to travel the world. So we were born there, and then I think I went back to Nigeria and then back to the UK with a foster parent and then back to Nigeria.
Wow.
Yeah. So you don't really figure out why you are the way you are until, I don't know, you're kind of triggered by something. So a lot of this, I think a lot of the movement that's been going on, and when I lost my dad 2 years ago, I started to investigate a little bit more about me. So even though I was one of 6 kids, there were times that we were separate. And then when we did come together, it was for a short while. And then I went to boarding school in Nigeria and then back to the UK. So the truthfully, I'm still trying to put it together. And I think that's why, especially now as a mum, I'm like, well, what manual am I meant to be following? I mean, if I didn't even go according to the quote unquote normal manual of motherhood and parenthood, how the hell am I supposed to have the answers now?
And it's really interesting to me because matrescence is this transformation of your identity.
Mm.
It is this period in our life as a woman, if it's honoured properly, where we question everything, question the world around us, question what we want our children to have, what we want to stand for, how we want to do this.
Mm.
And that is exceptionally tricky for every woman on the planet. But if you have what could, I would guess, only be described as an unclear identity.
Yes.
Because of that upbringing. How do you move through matrescence figuring out the answers if you didn't really know who you were anyway?
Sweet baby Jesus. I think you've just unlocked something I didn't even know.
You're welcome.
I usually pay $300 for a therapy session. That was really good. But you're absolutely right. And I think I'm still trying to figure it out. So, look, I believe I know who I am. You know, I use the words, I am the divine, and, you know, I am whoever I want to be. But let's really go back to the heart of the matter. What is in my subconscious and even the level below that? That's what I'm still trying to figure out. So there is an element of identity questioning.
Yes.
But I've never linked it. I mean, matrescence I only knew about when I got introduced to you.
Mm-hmm.
Am I, like, for real? Where is this information? Mm-hmm. Could I be supported a bit better? Can we support future generations? So to answer your question, I have no idea, but I think I've got some work to do after this podcast, because I probably need to be kinder to myself. I know I am hard on myself, but I need to be kinder because I'm still trying to unravel my story.
And that's important for us to all remember that, as I've always said, matrescence is universal.
Mm.
You know, this is like adolescence. Every child who moves into adulthood will move through adolescence.
Mm.
But like we've seen with adolescents, if we put the right support around them, if we understand them differently, if we make sure that their health's right and their schooling is supportive, then obviously adolescence is less traumatic.
Yeah.
It's the same for matrescence. And I think the world is asking us right now to, yes, see matrescence as something we all go through, but there are different experiences of this depending on where you're born, the colour of your skin, the support you have. And that's a really important thing for us to remember here.
It is. I mean, just as you were talking, I was thinking, if I go back to culturally, it took a village to raise a child. So maybe without the vocabulary, matrescence might have had the support it needed back in the day.
100%.
And then society started to change. You know, there was a need for women to rise. And I'm once again still trying to unfold patriarchy, and without saying whether it's negative or positive, just trying to understand the story around it. I don't think it's working anymore.
Mm.
But as things would have changed, that whole village support would have disbanded. It would have left. So absolutely, culture, race, religion, all plays a part. Is there one culture that has it right? I don't think so. I think it's why we're here having this conversation.
That's it. You said something to me right before we started, which was, this is what shaped us.
Yeah.
And I know that motherhood has definitely weaved an interesting path for you. You started in the UK with your daughter. You very quickly became a single mama on your own, came out to Australia. There's been lots of different journeys along this way. How has this shaped you?
Ooh. It's definitely made me more resilient, not by choice. And I guess that's the question I ask is, do we go through what we go through because it's part of our story and who's meant to shape us? And as I mentioned to you, I'm currently doing a documentary on trauma. And look, my definition of trauma that I take from the dictionary is, you know, a distressing or disturbing experience, which I think can be subjective to each individual. But motherhood for me shaped me because it was almost like trying to knock a star shape into a round hole. And so there were a few things that got chipped off, not by choice. And whether that eventually is going to refine me into something beautiful, I'm hopeful. I feel I'm there, whether according to the standards of the world, I may not be. But it definitely, it opened my eyes, and it's now opening it even more as I have a daughter going through adolescence who's a teenager, because it's me trying to nurture my journey, but also give her the space to nurture hers, but not be controlling over it. So it's an evolving journey that I truly believe is going to keep going till the day I take my last breath. And so I want to work really hard to know how to manage that over time. So 100% it shaped me. And I probably want to go a bit further to say that then I've got my culture, you know, the Nigerian culture, which was very much that back in the day, children were to be seen and not heard. So that would have formed. And I still have some of that. I find myself saying stuff that my mum or dad would have said that I didn't like then, but it's just coming out of my mouth. But I'm seeing it's not giving me a good outcome for myself nor my kids. So I'm in this balance of, okay, what parts of the world of parenting can I just fuse together to create my own motherhood memo?
That's it, isn't it? It's almost like I imagine it that you have this huge plethora of opinions like the world loves to give us that you can choose which ones to pick up or put down. I'm going to take that one because that serves me, but I'm going to put that part down. Correct. It's that type of, and I remember when we've spoken in the past, you've said this is a contract between you and your daughter and then you and your son.
Correct.
And to be very aware that you have choice in that.
Oh, beautifully said. Exactly. And we have to give ourselves permission to do that because I just love what you just, you know, no, people can't see your hands, but literally picking what works and create the contract with your own kids that you're both comfortable with. But sometimes that feels wrong, especially when everybody else has an opinion.
Mm.
So I think that's the new memo. Well, I definitely am creating, and I'd invite others to do the same.
So how do we do that? If a mum is listening, and no matter what her experience has been, she realises that she's carrying some parts of it with her that she doesn't want, that she's almost accidentally, unconsciously picked up from her own childhood, her own culture, whatever that is.
Yeah.
How do we start empowering ourselves to put those things down when they were perhaps part of what shaped us?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, I use this in a lot of the work I do, is to firstly take away any judgment.
Mm.
Take away any judgment to others and especially yourself. And when people say be kind to yourself, I think we overuse that word without really explaining what it means. And I think part of it is to appreciate your story, regardless of whether it worked for you or not. And to do that, you have to sit and be really comfortable with the discomfort of whatever that was. And I believe whether it's through meditation or just through stillness, you're able to pick out what works for you and what doesn't. I truly believe that I came into my power, my creative force, when I moved to Australia because the noise was less. Mm. As much as I love my family, I needed to hear my own voice. I needed to create my own version. If I wanted the babysitter to do the pickup in the afternoon, if I wanted to go away for a weekend and have the babysitter with them, I needed to know that I was going to be okay and the kids were going to be okay without the noise.
Mm.
And I think how we start to let go of limiting beliefs is to reduce the noise. And if that means you need to go away or you need to meditate 20 minutes a day, gift yourself that, because the space you create is beyond your wildest dreams.
I love that. It's really practical, that advice, because it is actually in the removal of yourself that you can often hear yourself. And sometimes that is physically, either going away for the weekend, but also I think about hundreds and hundreds of mamas who have been in my program over the years who have moved away from family.
Yeah.
And how lost they feel at the beginning, but eventually they realize they can now hear themselves differently. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard work. We're not talking about the easy path, but it's worth it.
It is worth it. And you're right, it is hard because your identity is attached to it.
Mm.
You know, it's where we were born, the family we were raised with, the siblings we have. So you're right. I think let's acknowledge it's not easy, but it's so much better because then you can stand in your power. You know that when you're in a conversation and it's not working for you, especially around motherhood, you can comfortably say without being overly triggered that, no, that's not working for us today. So I appreciate your concern and your offer, but I'm good.
Mm, beautiful.
Mm.
There's some very powerful conversations happening around the world at the moment.
Mm.
A really, really important time in history that I hope we continue with. I hope that the conversations that have been started since George Floyd's death continue forevermore and we never go backwards. I feel it's really important to say that. So
thank you.
I have the great honour of having a platform that speaks to many, many, many mamas every week.
Yeah.
What can we understand about the difference of raising a black child right now? Like, what is it that we need to understand as mamas? Because we all need to stand together.
Yeah. oh, I didn't think I'd get emotional here, really didn't. And the reason why I am, because I thank you. I thank you for creating the platform and inviting the conversation. Because when you do that, it lets me know you see me. And even though we should all be seen, because I see you, but it lets you know you see me in my suffering. Mm. And I think firstly, I also want to thank George Floyd. You know, I truly believe that we have a role to play in the contract, the life contract we bring or we live out here. And I don't know whether he agreed that he was going to be a huge catalyst for this conversation to start and to continue. And so what the Black Lives Matter movement that started a number of years ago is doing is making me question my identity again, making me ask myself, have I suppressed who I am? The cultural parts of me, how much have I suppressed it to fit in? Wow. And as a result of doing that, what have I passed on to my kids? Now, I remember my mum, she would, in London, we would go out and we would wear our African cloth, but we would look very different because it's lots of colours. It doesn't always match, but it's part of the culture. And she would get frustrated that it would bother us. And she would teach us, this is your culture, you should be proud. But we wanted to fit in. So even then, when we gave her a hard time, I'm now here asking myself, well, are we losing that? Aren't we meant to celebrate all our differences? So what is going on in the world right now has triggered my identity and asking me to bring it back. And similarly to what we said about motherhood, I want to be able to choose which parts of me I want and the parts I want to celebrate and the parts I want to pick up from the Western world, from the East, you know, from wherever. I want to have that choice, but I also want to feel safe. Mm. I want to feel safe. And so motherhood as a Black woman is contradictory. That's the best way I can describe it. I mean, I said to my son a couple of months ago, you're such a wonderful Black boy. Don't let anyone ever tell you different. And then he looked at me with the sincerest of eyes and then squeezed his face and said, what? I'm not Black, I'm brown. Mm-hmm. And he put it in context. These are labels, and I know until we get there, and I realized that me just telling him that was almost asking him to put on an armor. So I'm in this battle. Do I get him to put on an armor, or do I get him to just keep flowing as he is part of the world and equal to everybody else?
But it's almost like, from what I understand, and I am still very much a student of this myself as well, the world asks you to put on an armour.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
It's not safe otherwise. Yeah. And I've spent a lot of time over the last few months thinking about, you know, I have children who have their own struggles. And that is, we spoke about this off mic before we started about the challenges of motherhood right now. And I worry about them in certain ways, but I've never had to worry about them being safe because of the way they look.
Yeah.
So I'm trying as a mama to really compassionately put myself in that mindset, that understanding that although matrescence is a challenge and an opportunity for every single mama on the planet, there are some things I'm never going to have to worry about. Mm. I'm never going to have to question.
Yeah.
I'm never going to have to pick that up or put it down, because that's just not me and the way that I was brought up or the colour of my skin. So I think that's something that we all need to bring to mind a little bit more.
And acknowledging it is the first step. Yeah. Acknowledging it actually then allows you to see somebody else's pain. And I just want to highlight how powerful mamas are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, take away race, religion. I mean, oh, I get so worked up and empowered when I say this. You know, women are the most underutilized piece of beings, humans, resources, magicians ever. Like, you just think of what it took for us to get here today.
Mm-hmm.
This was like lastminute.com. and this is the power that mamas have. We have 5 kids between us.
Yeah.
And we made it work.
Yeah.
And what we want to do, in my opinion, is remember who we are, remember what we have. And I truly believe that we, especially mothers, are going to be the people who change the world, who, yes, Black Lives Matter might be the vessel that's being used for something way bigger.
Yes.
But this is a call to all mothers out there. You've got something you don't even realize you've got.
And I don't even know if I can say this without getting emotional, but I have seen a lot on social media that when George Floyd called out for his mama,
yeah,
he called all of us because we all are mamas and it's time for us to start doing things differently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your phenomenal courage and vulnerability and spirit and grace. I'm so glad you've come into my life.
Likewise. This is going to be a good ride.
This is going to be an awesome ride. Let's do it. Thank you, Yevi.
Thank you.
That has to be one of my most favorite podcast episodes ever. Yemi has opened my eyes, but also filled my heart. She is a beautiful mama and woman here to help us understand so much and courageously bring these conversations to us. Please have a look at her work. Go to yemipen.com. She's also got a spectacular book that I would encourage all of you to get a copy of, and that is Did You Get the Memo? You can get all the details on her website. And if you're at the beginning or the middle of your understanding of who you are through matrescence, if your identity is being questioned in any way, please take a look at my online course that supports you through matrescence called The Birth of You. Go to amytaylorkabaz.com/The Birth of You. It's an online program full of all the research and understanding and resources you need to begin to ask yourself, well, who am I now? What will I pick up and what will I leave behind? Until next week, Sat Nam.